What does North Korea's economic future look like now that Kim Jong-il is dead?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, the new trend in Las Vegas, hotels without casinos. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up at the open this morning. The Dow up 48 points, about 0.4% at 11,914. The NASDAQ up 0.3%. S&P 500 up 0.2% right now. In Sweden today, automaker Saab filed for bankruptcy after its former owner General Motors blocked Chinese investors from buying the company. And in Spain, the new conservative prime minister there outlined his plans for budget austerity today. Spain's unemployment rate, by the way, is 23% overall and 46% for people under the age of 25. Now to the big news from North Korea. Leader Kim Jong-il has died of a heart attack. He's being succeeded by his son, Kim Jong-un. Now, for almost two decades, the elder Kim kept the country and its economy isolated. Marketplace's David Gura has an economic snapshot of North Korea.
Mike Chinoy is a researcher at USC, and in August, he made his 15th trip to North Korea.
You just get a sense of almost no energy and very little economic activity at all.
The country really has two economies. Scott Snyder of the Council on Foreign Relations says one economy benefits the Kim dynasty, the elites.
The general economy is separate from that, is pretty impoverished.
Hunger is widespread. North Korea is increasingly dependent on food aid. Infrastructure is in disrepair. Under Kim Jong-il, North Korea invested heavily in defense. It has one of the biggest militaries in the world. John Park is with the U.S. Institute of Peace. He says North Korea has economic ties to just a few countries. Two-thirds of its trade is with China.
We see the Chinese facilitating a lot of commercial and economic development activity along the border area,
where there's coal and iron ore. Experts say these next few weeks will be critical. They're looking for signs of change. But Mike Chinoy says not to underestimate the country's political system, which he calls resilient.
The North Korean elite know that if they don't hang together, they could easily hang separately, and they will have strong support from China.
And that may mean more of the same. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Well, now to the House of Representatives, which today will tackle the issue of whether to extend the payroll tax cut. This is the tax reduction that allowed the average American family to keep about $1,000 extra this year. It was billed as economic stimulus. Well, over the weekend, the Senate gave bipartisan approval to a two-month extension of the tax cut. But now House Republicans say they're not going to pass that extension, and they're going to start working on their own bill. For more, let's bring in our regular Monday guest, Julia Coronado. She is chief economist with the investment bank BNP Paribas, and she's with us live this morning from Washington. Good morning, Julia.
Good morning.
So obviously there are some political calculations going on here, but what's at stake economically?
Well, it's pretty significant economically. I mean, we're talking about 2% of take-home pay for all wage earners in the country. So in general, we don't think the economy has yet gathered enough steam to withstand that kind of a tax hike. So it would be pretty meaningful if they don't get this done.
And on the other side of this, though, if they do extend this payroll tax cut, that means that there's less money going into the Social Security Trust Fund, right?
Indeed. I mean, that's the insidious part of this is we are underfunding Social Security with the payroll tax cut, and it's already an underfunded program. So that really makes the longer term decisions a lot harder.
Well, what do you think is going to happen here?
Well, I mean, I think the stakes are so high that they will get something done. The debate has been over how to pay for it. But, of course, the whole nature of stimulus is you don't necessarily pay for it. You stimulate the economy now and pay for it down the road. It's the latter part that Washington struggles with getting done.
And they have only, until the end of this year to do this?
That's right. If they don't get it done pretty much this week, then everybody sees a 2% tax hike on Jan 1.
Julia Coronado, chief economist with the investment bank BNP Paribas, thanks as always.
It's a pleasure.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering IRA savings products and a Raise Your Rate 4-year CD. Learn more at allybank.com. And by Money Magazine, a personal finance magazine now accessible on tablets like iPad, Nook Color, Kindle Fire, and select Android devices. Money.com/allaccess.
The big Las Vegas hotel casino Caesars Palace is about to open a new tower, but the focus will be on fancy rooms, not gambling. And that's something that's happening more and more in Sin City, as Marketplace's Eve Tro reports.
Your room at Caesars Octavius Tower will have marble floors, a pillow top mattress, a velvet couch, and a whirlpool tub. Why leave all that serene luxury for this?
They're definitely appealing more to non-gamblers, especially the business travelers.
David G. Schwartz heads the Center for Gaming Research at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. He says Caesars is just the latest company to build a boutique hotel inside a mega resort. Steve Wynn and MGM have done the same. Guests don't have to go through the casino to get to their room, but if they want to play,
you're still only a few hundred feet away from the gaming tables, so it's not like you have to leave completely and go to another property.
It's your own private Vegas away from Vegas. Schwartz says it's a big bet meant to lure the wealthiest customers. That's who hotels are competing most fiercely to get, because high rollers have proven they'll keep coming to Vegas no matter how bad the economy gets. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
And finally, to a restaurant in Cambridge, Massachusetts, that just held what it calls Hell Week. It's an ode to spicy foods. The East Coast Grill offered up a pasta dish so hot that you have to sign a waiver before you eat it. According to WBZ-TV, one man's reaction was, quote, "Pain. I can't breathe. I can't talk. It tastes good at first. Now I can't taste anything." In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
You know those big brown delivery trucks you see on the road? Apparently, sometimes they come in green, as in good for the environment.
Well, I've been driving for 34 years with UPS. My previous package car used to gas up every week, and now I gas up once a month.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, Corporate Sustainability Officers, and what exactly they do. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.